So meditation is really uncovering the existence of life, the very creative, the creation of life itself. So we're discovering the source of existence, the source of existence. And our tendency is to just go where we're existing, which is not the source of existence. It's the manifestation of that source. That's the sense of I. That's the sense of all of this. That's the sense of life as we live it. But that's not the source. So to stop at the manifestation, at the forms of existence, that the forms existence takes, is not moving to the greater potential, which is to abide within the existence itself. That's where Dharma takes us. Now when we sit, if we get lost in the thought and just reiterate what we're thinking and encourage what we're thinking and dwell upon what we're thinking, contemplate and just spend the whole time mentally, that's being lost in the forms or expressions of existence, not existence itself. That which sees what is existing, the awareness, that's the source. And if at some point, now it feels like my awareness knowing I'm thinking, or my awareness knowing that I'm angry or whatever it is, but that's a thin space where the my begins to dissipate and existence of that awareness begins to bloom. That's the evolution of practice if we do it correctly. So to get lost in, oh, my leg hurts, and oh, yeah, you know, oh, I'm just going to put up with my leg hurting. Well, then we're in the misery of existence. Don't stay in the misery of existence. That's not... A beautiful way is listening. Because listening has no boundaries. It has no form. It's just expanse. And so meditation is abiding within the expanse of listening, you might say. And whatever arises within that listening, that's the manifestation as it moves through the meditation. Thoughts, emotions. And as soon as we invest whatever energy we have in that which is manifesting, then we're lost in the manifest, which is you and me, this and that, things, the relative world. And that's fine because we have to live in the relative world, but we don't have to dwell upon it. That's misery. We have to know it's there, work with it effectively, but we don't dwell on it, or just that's the only existence I know, when there's a greater existence which is giving rise to the manifest. Is that understandable? I may have to say that a few times. So let's just be quiet with existence, with awareness. That which sees, S-E-E-S, that which sees. And I'm going to guide you. I want to start with just something very practical, something very grounded that you can use to ground yourself when you get lost in the emotions and the thoughts and the feelings and all of that. the body. Come into body, come into bodiness. Feel the solidity, the structure. But also the space. The space is far more prevalent than the solidity. Space surrounds the solidity. The anchor of our sanity. The stabilizing center. Enter the bones of the body, the heartbeat, the breath, the movement of the body, the changing quality, alive, vital. And the space that holds that movement. go to an area of the body that you find most comforting. Perhaps your hands or your heart area or wherever it might be where you're most at home. Feel its aliveness, feel its steadiness. Feel it as a source of your centeredness and stability. When difficulties arise, we can go to this at-home place and let the difficulties be held by the caress of that place. Things are agreeable here. They can be worked on. They can be seen. Yet even this place of security, this place of comfort, this place of rest in my body, as my body, is also being held within space, the awareness of it. And perhaps that's my greater home. Perhaps the door, that's the door for greater relaxation and ease, that which holds my home. From there, the whole body can be held within that expanse of awareness. And whatever troubles my body has, whatever difficulties, whatever limitations, whatever noise it's making, either pleasant or unpleasant, can be held by this greater sense of home. My awareness. the form of the body, the physicality of the experience, is in movement. Feel the movement of it, the shifting nature of it, the sensation, changing sensations of it. But the awareness that sees that change is not changing. Dead stop. Revealing that change, not interfering with that change, not altering that change, just seeing change. Dead stop. That which sees and holds doesn't dispute or contract or resist. That which just sees and holds is called love. It's called kindness. Set it free from your ownership. Don't bend it to your command. And you'll start to see it everywhere. It will be seen everywhere. Let it hold your whole body. All the judgments that we have about the body, the limitations of the body, the areas that hold psychological issues. The seen is not owned. It's not somebody's. But then neither is the body. Feel it as just itself rather than as an ownership of me or mine. In fact, it is hard to call it a body if it doesn't maintain itself when we release the ownership or the definition of an arm or a leg. We just release all the words associated with it. It doesn't stay together as body. It becomes space. With points of sensation. So where do you stop and life begins? Where does existence stop? Is it the bodies? Does it stop within the body? Or can you feel the existence that surrounds the body? And maybe they're one and the same. Ponder, be curious and interested, not afraid. It's not scary. You can bring yourself back very easily just by opening your eyes, and you're certainly encouraged to do that if you do get frightened. But for this moment, it's all mystery. The body's a mystery when we don't name it. Where's the mystery begin and end? It's all mystery. Feel it beckon you, the call of the heart, the call of the wild. Life coming back in on itself, encouraging us out of our manifestation, encouraging us into existence, out of the separation. We have limited ourselves by demanding a definition on everything. Anytime we corral the mystery, we get ourselves. And then the internal turmoil that being only ourselves and not existence brings. You can't separate ourselves out from something greater and expect for everything to go well. We trip and fall, bump our heads, have histories that are individual, separate. Now coming back into yourself, as yourself, knowing yourself. Coming back into body, as body, knowing your body. Hand is hand, left hand, right hand, face, shoulders. Here you are. But can you nurture the call of the wild even while you reform as yourself? Just nurture it. Just give it some credibility, some invested interest and curiosity. A poem by Lizelle Mueller. What is Left to Say is the title. The self steps out of the circle. It stops wanting to be the farmer, the wife, and the child. It stops trying to please by learning everyone's dialect. It finds it can live, after all, in a world of strangers. It sends itself fewer flowers. It stops preserving its tears in amber. How splendidly arrogant it was when it believed the gold-filled tomb of language awaited its raids. Now it frequents the junkyard, knowing all words are secondhand. It has not chosen its poverty, this new fragility. It did not want to fall out of love with itself, young. It celebrated itself and richly sang itself, seeing only itself in the mirror of the world. But now it cannot return. It assumes its place in the universe of stars that do not see it, but hold it. Even the dead no longer need to be at peace. Its only function is to applaud. Its only function is to appreciate and to love. If people sometimes, when they realize that this practice ultimately takes us to something much greater than the limited way we have been protecting our identity, they say, well, I can't live without myself. But we do it all the time. We never have what we think we have as a resource called me. It's just a thought. It's just an image. It's just an idea that we keep rehearsing as a self-protection. Now, so I'm not trying to force you there at all, ever, because you often go there willingly, and that's what needs to happen. The way you go there willingly, have you ever noticed or been astounded by awe and beauty? So you're wordless in that moment, and you just, there's no you there. That sense of awe is the thinnest of spaces. That's what it looks like in reality when you're not there. But in that sense of awe, in that moment of beauty, of rapturedness, you don't claim to be frightened. You claim to be at awe. And so this thing has much more availability and expanse and draw than we invest in, and then we think it will. We think, oh, I can't live without me. But we do it all the time. How about when we really listen to somebody? Have we ever had that experience where time you can't measure time because you're really being present with somebody. So present that there's a communion that is sacred, although you wouldn't call it that at the time, because to so do so, you have to label it and identify it. But in the moment of that, there's timelessness. And many of us have had that experience repeatedly. That's what life looks like without the sense of self. That's it. It's nothing. You don't go black inside. It doesn't all disappear like that, and you start walking into walls. It doesn't happen like that. What I want to do is encourage you in this direction, if you're so willing, if you are so willing. And at some day, some point, and perhaps it'll be the circumstances of the world that will get you there, because they're moving in that direction where there's no other alternative than to move in this direction. And perhaps that's why it's happening at all, is because it's squeezing us in a way that we would never want to go on our own. And circumstances are forcing us to line up and be present with each other and to acknowledge the connection that's there. Whether that's going to happen or our extinction is going to happen first, I don't know. It seems like a very close race at this point. But let's not be afraid of something that we haven't even given a chance to. To be in a state of awe, to live immersed in wonder, okay. It's closer than you think. It's not years of practice. It's not. I was fooled by thinking that. It's not. I wouldn't tell you that if it was. I would say go practice for 20,000 years. I was reading when I was a kid, a Hindu guy was saying the leaves were equivalent to his lifetimes, and he was looking at his existence as a tree with so many leaves left on it. And he was saying, I don't have very many leaves, meaning lifetimes, left on my tree. And I said, why didn't he cut that tree down? That's ridiculous to think that way. How does he know that? That's just a burden. Okay. So we'll take another break for like 10 minutes or so and then come back and wrap up the morning. See how quickly it goes? It goes very quickly. And then I'll explain about lunch and all that. Okay.